Hey listeners, I have another great episode for you. Just a heads up, this episode does have some content your children may not have heard before, so you may want to give it a listen before you share it with them. Thanks for listening. Welcome back. You're listening to the Whole Home Podcast. I'm here with Deanna, and we are going to jump right into games and have a little fun. Deanna, your first game tonight is called Love It or Not So Much. So I'm going to say a list of things, and you get to say very excitedly, I love it or not so much. So the first one is cruise ships.
I love it. Interested in loving it?
Flip-flops.
Love it.
Raisins and sweets.
Not so much.
Not so much. Star Wars.
Learning to love it. I'm a late Star Wars watcher.
That's fair. All right. What about ketchup on your eggs?
I don't like eggs. So that sounds pretty gross.
What about smell of a pipe?
Ooh, love it.
Vinegar taste.
Love it.
Black licorice?
Acquiring, loving it.
Yeah. What about Costco on the weekend?
Ooh, love it.
Yes, I'll go with you. Taco Bell.
I don't know. I haven't eaten Taco Bell in like 13 years.
How is that possible?
The last time I ate it is when you moved into this house. So it wasn't 13 years, but it was like the last time I ate Taco Bell.
That'd be like 7 years or almost eight. That's incredible. Board games.
Love it.
Walking in the sand.
Ooh, love it.
Vegetables.
Learning to love it.
What's like your favorite?
I love like Asian stir-fried green beans.
Ooh.
So good.
Yummy. What about the book series or movie, I guess, show? I don't even know. Twilight? What was it?
It's both now.
Okay.
But and not so much. I loved it as a high schooler, but not anymore.
About Nick Cage.
Nick Cage?
He from National Treasure.
Oh, I love him.
Disney.
It's okay.
Tuna.
No.
What about making lists?
Helpful, yes. Learning to love it.
What about snow?
Love it.
Mayonnaise.
Sporadically loves it.
Okay. Cilantro.
Ooh, love it.
Working out. Why are you laughing?
Because I don't. My version of working out is if I can like wash my hands and do body rolls, like that's a good day.
Yeah.
Like I'm just trying to get it in where I can.
So I have a funny memory of one of my aunts. Did you ever see this weird, I guess contraption would be the right word, the Thighmaster? Like that was her limit. She's like, but in her mind, like she was doing it.
Yeah.
I love it so much to this day. You just like, yeah, anyway. Okay, that's the first game.
Woo.
So now is the questions from my little pile here that I asked to everyone, and you get 5 minutes to answer. Let's try to go really fast. Let's be the fastest
okay
ever. Is there something people sometimes misunderstand about you?
I'm very goofy.
Okay. If you had 10 times your budget, what would you spend it on?
Making my dream backyard.
Ooh. Who's your favorite celebrity?
It's not Javake, but it's Jake right now.
Okay. Do you have a role model?
Oh, so many ladies at Remnant.
2 words that describe you.
Personal listener.
A tradition you observe in your household. We're doing good.
Oh, eating a sweet treat on Christmas Eve.
Wow, that is so specific. What is it?
Oh, normally it's like happy birthday Jesus cake.
Oh, really? Seriously?
Yeah. Yeah.
So cool. Okay, if you were going to write a book, what would it be about?
Just over light coming over darkness.
Are you going anywhere on vacation this year?
Hopefully to like a beach, maybe Outer Banks. Ooh. That's my goal.
What is a place in scripture encouraging to you?
Lots of the Proverbs. Just a silly one. There is no oxen where the stable is clean. So I was like, I just got to keep telling myself. The strength of the oxen brings home many harvest.
Yeah.
But places with oxen are not clean. Yeah.
What is your exact favorite spot in your home?
I love my green couch that's right next to my window when the sun hits it.
Go to breakfast.
Lunch.
Oh. I was like, wait, what did I ask?
Breakfast food is hard for me.
Okay. What is something in your life more challenging than you expected?
Trying to be diligent in the ordinary things and taking joy in that.
What are you reading right now?
Father Hunger.
What is the best compliment you ever received?
I don't know. I've been told a lot that I'm beautiful by my husband, and that warms my heart. But just hearing that I'm a good friend is, I think, something that I really need.
Do you have a fun recipe that you like to make?
Ooh, one of my favorites is like kielbasa and peppers and like sauce over rice. So good.
Yum. So hungry. Is there something people typically... Did I ask you that? Don't know about you?
Oh, that I'm silly once you get to know me.
What is the last thing you watched on television?
Oh, what was the last thing? I think it's a Disney movie with my kids. Okay. Like Cars or something.
What is your favorite soup?
I like the Zupa soup. Yeah, yes. With the sausage and kale.
Are you working on your house at all? Any home edit projects?
I'm trying to tackle my utility room. It's not working, but it's my dream to tackle it.
Do you find the match for socks when you do laundry?
I just try to go for similar colors.
Sounds good. What's your favorite smell?
Lavender.
Ooh, okay. Do you journal?
No, but I am like bullet listing these days.
Do you do like designs and stuff?
No, but I'd be curious to try.
Bubble letters, block letters.
When it's like a holiday.
Slanted letters.
Yes.
Do you collect anything?
Boops and bops, like a pretty leaf or sticks or shells, and I just kind of put them in a jar.
We were just talking about teeth. Do you collect teeth?
Yes, but I can't throw them away. I don't know what to do with them. You can't throw baby teeth away.
I know, it's so weird, some of those things. Is there any human that changed the course of your life?
Several, but yeah, my aunt, my friends, people at church, just depends. All little motions in the right direction.
What is a book or a resource that influenced you? Hurry, we're almost there.
Oh, the Bitterness book?
Okay, two musicians on your playlist.
Bill Lawrence and Jake.
Useless talent?
Oh, no. I don't really have one. My elbows don't hurt when I bump them anymore, but I don't know if that's a talent or just a deficiency.
What is the last skill you learned?
Oh, I'm learning how to sew.
What's your middle name?
Marie.
If you could become an expert in something, what would it be?
How to fix things. Just, oh.
No, what were you saying? Ding. All right. Hooray. We almost made it. I mean, we were right on the line.
Yeah. And did I do? I think I did good.
You did good. All right. This is the section where we jump into your garden. I'm looking at Deanna, and she is noteless. She's doing it. She's going for it. So we're going to pray our way through it. But also, I just want to bring out, so you did prepare, but at the same time, maybe you've had some conversations or thoughts this particular week that you're like, I'm just going to see how I answer it on the spot, right? I mean.
Yeah. It's not for lack of planning. Mm-hmm. I just feel like so much realization has been happening. Mm-hmm. And to say the new updated thing would be untruthful. So I just want to, even if it sounds a little messy, I want to give it my best.
It's exciting. We're going to go for it. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
All right, Deanna, what neighborhood do you live in and how long have you been there?
I live in Chesterfield in Scottingham and I'm coming up on 2 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who's in your household?
It's myself, my husband, my 3 boys, and my dog.
And who was in your household that died recently? Oh.
It's okay. It's ducks. Everyone can like now take a gasp of relief. Foxes, man. The Lord provided for that fox that winter. Mm. Many meals.
It's a wild story. Did you ever catch him?
No, but we saw, like Josh saw him.
Okay.
And he just looked at us and jumped over the fence and walked away.
Peace out, players.
Yeah.
And then are we allowed to say who's in your upper house?
Oh, okay. Well, there's no secret. Reshmi lives with us as well in her own little apartment upstairs.
I love it. And how long have you been coming to Remnant? Who invited you?
Josh invited me. But I just kept getting invited, especially by you and Ryan and just people, especially people in the band at that time.
Okay.
Just hanging around a lot of band people.
And how many years? We already decided we couldn't remember.
Eight to nine?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then what about your current community group?
I host it with Joshua, and we have a lovely group that's growing a little more every year.
Awesome. All right, let's jump in. First section is planning, and these are the desires and dreams that you have.
Yes. My planning out right now is I'm learning to love to learn. Yes.
Learning to love to learn. Tongue twister. Got it. Okay. Learn what?
I don't have a lot of skills outside of like cooking and cleaning. Just I didn't do a lot growing up, and then I got married very quickly and then had babies very quickly. And now I'm in this season where my kids are older. We have some disposable income, and I want to get excited about something and see what the Lord blesses me to do naturally or with much effort, and just to really just try my hand at things and be able to pass that to my kids.
So you're talking about skills, or not so much like school type learning, like book learning?
Well, that too, because I have my kids are in school. So we're tackling a lot, like how should we think of school? What would be beneficial? What is actually my ability to do? And just taking all that with an open hand and just trying my best and praying for lots and lots of excitement and praying against comparison.
Yeah, so you said your boys are a little older, but that doesn't change the reality that they need you all the time. So this dream that you have to grow, like how does that actually work out practically with time and all that? You have a community group and kids, pets,
yeah,
all that. You're teaching.
I'm trying to be faithful with the time that I have. And I think in the past I'd get very frustrated because I don't have 5 hours of time to block out to watch a video, to learn a skill, to try it out, or to see if I'm even excited about it. And I think that can make me want to quit before I even start. But especially from listening to people in the podcast or just reading lots of like productivity, like even if you read a book 5 minutes every day, like you'd eventually get to the end of that book. Aren't those 5 minutes worth it? Mm. So I'm trying to think of like my time as like all like these are drops in the bucket, right? And each drop is actually significant.
Yes.
And it's so hard to remember that when you have people asking you for a snack all the time, or you don't get to it in like 2 weeks, or you know, whatever it is.
Yes, get it. So you are still in this section of desires and dreams. Is there something that you're planning that you haven't tried yet that you want to do?
I haven't shared this a lot, but I'd love to learn how to like sing in sign language.
In sign language?
Yes.
Okay.
So not verbally, but how you sign to sing.
Okay.
Yeah. And yeah. I've never put my hands to it, but that is a desire I've held for like years.
Where did that come from?
Growing up, there was a woman who signed at my church, and I always thought she looked so beautiful doing it.
Cool.
And it's like, it was just the coolest thing, and I never had lessons or anything, but it's like, and I naturally want to move during worship anyways.
Yeah.
So it'd be nice to like be able to like sing with my hands.
Yeah. I am so excited. So I haven't got the exact dates from her, but my mom is coming to visit hopefully at the end of June. And that's one of my memories of going with her to her college to learn sign language. Whoa. She was like really, really into learning and a part of the deaf community. And so my memories of being with her on a Sunday, even to this day, she can't help but be signing.
That's so cool.
Because it was such a huge part of her life, and it just flows out of her. And I wonder if maybe she could teach you a song.
I just want to know one that we actually like sing.
Yeah.
Even if I bust that out like once every 6 months, I'd be a very happy girl.
That'd be so cool. Well, I just checked out a book on sign for my kids, and I just kind of like laid it out there, and I was like, I told each one, I got this one for you, Oliver. Oh, Ava, I got this book just for you. Just kind of like to see would any of them pick it up and be interested, because I think it's really cool too. Awesome. So when you dream, do you dream big, or do you have like elaborate dreams that are probably unattainable, or do you tend to like go like for the small side of things?
It's all about me like allowing myself to dream, because for a long time it's like no, like you don't have the money, you don't have the time, you don't even know if you'd like that. And it was just very easy to like tap like down those things. Especially when you have a husband who like is amazing at most things that he puts his hands to, so it's just like, I will support you, babe, like you do that. But it's like, okay, I So like, even though like singing in sign language isn't this like humongous dream, like it feels really big to me because I just sat on it and sat on it for like years. But I guess I've thought about like wanting to do things for like our community, like really, really big things. And it's just small things like allowing myself just to get excited.
Yeah. Was there any dream kind of like that that you want to share? Someday, I know Ashley Anderson said a dream she had would someday to make the communion bread for Remnant Church. Do you have any like big
That's
dream
so
like that?
That's so cool. I definitely thought about that. And it's like, do I want to do that every Sunday? So the biggest one that I have is I would love to get a bunch of like rental properties and like rent them out. Both my parents, sets of parents at this point, are like entrepreneurs. They do it differently. So they both make the either build the houses or fix them up and like rent them out to strangers. But it's like, man, like I would love to do that for our community because it was hard us finding a house or a rental place. And it's so scary. And then you don't know if your landlord's okay. Or it's like, it would just be nice just to have safe places for people to like rest until they can like get their own home.
Yeah.
So that's like a really like big one that I just would love to be a part of.
So is Resume Upstairs like a dream come true in a way?
It is. And it happened like so crazily because we were moving stuff around and I was like, man, like someone could just rent out this upstairs. And I was trying to take like a poll. I'm like, okay, it would have to be a single young lady. And like one day I was like, Resh, would you ever live with a family? And if so, what would be the parameters? Not asking her, but just to like pick her ear about it. And she like told me and I was like, okay, we could do that. And like literally like next month, she's like, hey, is that real? Like, oh, are you doing that? I'm like, we'd like to. She goes, yeah. And then that just started. Like, it was so like providential.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, we have to quickly make this room.
Before you knew it, your walls were coming down. Pipes were going in.
Yeah.
Toilets, sinks, refrigerator, all this stuff. What else did you guys do?
It wasn't as extensive, but we put in a little...
Hey, there's an island up there,
There is an island. You can move it, so it's not, like, bolted. But there's a little kitchenette, stove, kitchen. There's backsplash. It was so cool because kind of got to, like, design it. So it's like I get to pick out the finishes and, like,
so fun.
The backsplash. And it felt, I don't know, so cool. And that Joshua, like, let me do that.
Yeah.
And it was, like, the muscle. And I was like, I got to dream.
So awesome. All right. And what about, well, you didn't put this in the section, but I want to bring up the writer's group that you host in your home. What dream was part of that?
I would like to write stories one day. I am still such a noob at it, but it started a long time ago with our good friends Drew and Cassie, and Drew and I would like have these like funny prompts, and it's like, okay, we're just gonna like work on that, and we'd record them and like share them with each other.
Nice.
We did that a long time. And like, you know, seasons change, so you start and you stop and you start and stop. And then met Brittany, who's a fabulous writer who writes like an hour a day.
Yeah.
She tries to stop herself from writing more, which
she's
is
very
like
disciplined.
Yes, which is amazing. And she's super excited about it. And then she knew writers and it was like, oh, like we'd love to, we were already doing art shares. Mm-hmm. So we kind of like knew like, oh, people really do want to do this with other people. Like, wouldn't it be cool if we could do it for writers? So that's kind of like how it started. And it's gotten like people are like talking to me about it who I've never like met before.
Yeah.
And it's super cool. And I'm not like leading the charge. I'm just hosting and just trying to provide the space and being faithful in that way and getting excited.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really cool.
So I mentioned in your first podcast, in my point of view, you have a very industrious home. And you mentioned just a minute ago that this home wasn't easy to come by. There was a lot of difficulty in finding a place to live and all that. But since you all did live in your home, it's just, I feel like, changed so much in like an amazing way. So what is your overall vision for this home? Because every time I come, I feel like y'all are doing something incredible to your space. Like every room in your home has like a little story to tell. I feel like last time I was there, I don't think there was kombucha bubbling on the counter, and now there is, and then you know, and then we've got the ducks and the fox who's trying to eat them, and the hallway that has seen so many rooms, you know, flipped and reimagined over and over. And I don't know, so what is your overall dream for your home, your bit of earth?
We were praying for the Lord to give us the house that he wanted to give us, and I was like, okay, Lord, this needs to be like so clear, like brick through a window, like clear. And he was, and it was like the only house that we could get. Mm-hmm. And it was like, we slid in before anybody could like make another offer on it. And the desire for our home is just to be welcoming and life bringing. I want to like build people up in it. I want to get as much as I can out of it. Cause you remember our first place, our little Franklin house.
Yeah.
And two little bedrooms, this little duplex, having two babies in there. Mm-hmm. And things are just so, so, so tight and just trying to make it work. And we made it work for 3, maybe 4 years, a good long while. And we got to move to our bigger house and then an even bigger house. And it's, I just, as much as the Lord has given me, I just want to make such a huge profit on it. And now that we have this land, it's like, oh, we get to take care of ducks, which I didn't think we'd ever do. Mm-hmm. But it's so cool.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, how do we get Josh to work from home? How do we make that comfortable? How do we maximize the boys' bedrooms and the upstairs? And how do we love the most people and let them enter into? And at the same time, like pushing ourselves to like look at more and more of creation, like kombucha.
Yeah. I got educated this weekend. There's one more thing I want to touch on here is in your notes, your exact wording. When you were talking about at first about learning yourself, you wrote, that way I can give what I have to my kids. And I was just curious, did you mean that you're thinking about it kind of like the knowledge of what you learn to pass it on? Or did you actually mean the attitude of a learner?
More so the attitude and just literally anything to pass on to my kids. Mm-hmm. So like in the first episode, like I don't know much of anything about my mom. She didn't teach me a lot of skills except for like cooking and cleaning. So I just didn't know how to sew or to sing or to imagine. Like I didn't know how to imagine anything. So it's like, if I'm first gen, at least I could, like in the Lord's will, like let my kids be free to imagine what they would want to do. So it's not so much me, like, yes, I'd like to be built up, but more so like, Lord, my cup is only so big, but I want to fill up my kids as much as I can, because it saddens me to like not have much of anything in common or commonality with my mom.
Yeah. Since you didn't share it, and since in the future, time will pass, it will be fun to hear this on record. How old are your boys right now?
My James is 7 and Noah is 5 and Henry is 2. But they're all about to like age up like in the next like month.
Yeah, you could tell.
Yes.
All right, let's move to sowing. And these are the faith seeds that you're pressing down. And so this is things in your life that are at the beginning stages.
I feel like my planning and sowing is kind of hand in hand.
So yes, in a lot of ways I felt the same. Maybe you could just pull on the thread of like you being a teacher a little bit more.
Yes, I am a teacher. Well, it's not even anything crazy serious yet. My eldest is in second, and my second eldest is in kindergarten, and I've worked through a lot of like, it's not about being smart enough.
Yeah.
And that used to really scare me, but just it's about being just faithful and just being even a little bit smarter than what you're trying to teach your kids, and just planting the seeds of like that faithfulness and like, and it's okay, and being excited even if I don't have it all together just quite yet.
Did you ever have any circumstance in your life where you were a teacher?
Not quite. I used to work at Babs, and I worked with the 3-year-olds, but that's more like wrangling than teaching. But yeah.
Actually, like a daycare school, yeah.
Yeah, but like, you know, letters and numbers and just simple like life skills like that.
I'd love to hear some of the things. So now you're allowed to say things you're actually doing, where the desire part was the planning.
Yeah.
So what are some of the things that you're tending towards wanting to learn, in particular to being able to pass on to your kids at this point?
I want to be a voracious reader. Mm-hmm. I started really late in my life. And right now, it's not even like I'm reading anything taxing. I'm just trying to read. So I'm reading through the Chronicles of Narnia series.
That's so fun.
I never did it before. So I just finished The Voyage of the Dawn Treader and just really like trying to munch on really good stories.
Just you reading by yourself?
Yeah, reading by myself. I've now pushed myself to read out loud to my kids. Joshua does an amazing job at it, but he bought me Paddington, which is like a chapter book.
Yeah.
And I never knew, so I'm like reading them Paddington every...
Is it fun to read aloud?
It is, and I have to try to do different voices,
mm-hmm.
and I'm really... Ooh. And it's tricky.
What are some of the characters remind me? Don't they have like a neighbor? I don't remember. Is Mr. Brown?
Mr. Brown's the dad. Yeah. Mrs. Brown, Judy, Mrs. Bird, which is like their...
Isn't there some neighbor they harass? I can't remember.
I'm not that far into the book.
Wait for it. Wait, maybe I'm mixing it up with something else. I don't know. That's so fun.
Yeah.
Do your kids like it?
They say they do. I think, you know, I can't just go off of how they're looking like, because mm-hmm. like years later you'll hear, yeah, that was my favorite.
It's so true.
And it's like, facts. What? So I'm reading in faith and in joy, and they said that they like it and they want me to read more. And it's like, okay, I'm going to keep doing it, and I want to get better at it.
Mm-hmm. I have a story like that I read to Oliver maybe last year, Robin Hood, and it was took forever. To read it. It was like just painful. I considered stopping finishing. We finally made it to the end. And the end is very tragic, and we both welled up with tears. And I was like, at last we're done. It was like, I'm gonna check it off or whatever.
Yeah.
And then, like last week or maybe the week before, he's like, Mom, can I go up in the attic and find that Robin Hood book? I want to read it for myself. And I'm like,
wow.
What? And then he read it all very quickly. I was shocked. And then he asked, can I buy some green shoes, and you know, can I borrow my sister's green cape, and like all this thing. And now he's like super duper into,
yeah,
he made a comic. It's so, to your point, it's just, you never know, you just so in faith, you know.
Yeah.
So maybe your kids will, you know, ask you for honey a lot, or marmalade, not honey.
They have asked me for marmalade.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh no. Well, not oh no, I guess we just got to find some good marmalade to have.
Go to Peru.
Darkest Peru.
Darkest. All right. Anything else that you're thinking of? So maybe not having to do with schooling, but things that you actually are putting your hand to that you're trying to learn for yourself, for your own enjoyment.
I am learning how to garden.
Okay.
And I'm just sowing seeds and praying that they sprout and that the squirrels don't eat them, or that the kids don't step in the garden beds, and just taking it with an open hand. And then I'm asking all the ladies that I know personally who sew to teach me how to sew.
Yeah.
So that's been a very exciting time. I'm making a skirt.
Woo. Yeah, and I didn't know that.
Yeah. I just started. Well, I cut it out yesterday with Hannah. She's awesome. Teaching me.
Go, Hannah. Is she making anything with you?
No. She's made tons of stuff, though, in the past. Mm-hmm. But she's really just, like, giving me a lot of attention. And Rush Me, like, hops in and, like, sews with me. And Carissa and I made a shirt, and I call it my chaos shirt. because I just went for it, and I don't plan to wear it, but I did it.
It sounds fun.
Yeah.
So is this all restful to you, exciting, daunting?
It's not restful yet. It is exciting because the people that I'm alongside teaching me are excited about it, and they want to show me like how to do it. So even I don't know if I'll become this amazing seamstress, but it's so cool just to like have someone who's done it, who likes it, and excited to show me how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids want to learn how to sew, and I'm like, I need to learn first. But so that's like another like driving force of like, they're just voracious, like they just want to do everything, and it's like, I want to provide this for you. I need to continue on.
What about applying that to maybe learning in general? Has this all been exciting, daunting, restful?
It's been more exciting for the skills, mm-hmm. a little more daunting for like general, like book knowledge or scripture knowledge, just anything really where it's more mental and less like with my hands. It does not come easy to me, but I would like to get better at it, mm-hmm. and not let that be a spot of sadness that I can't pick it up as fast as someone else, or mm-hmm. I don't understand, or you're trying to have this conversation with me, but I'm just not there yet, and yeah. not having my like identity wrapped up in that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's move to watering. What are things you're actively tending, stewarding, or praying about? Let's go with, what are you praying for?
I'm praying that the Lord kills envy. a lot of envy in my heart. Yeah. There's so many talented people at Remnant, and all these women and men and their families just being faithful. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very easy to say, oh, my family doesn't look like that, and I must be doing something wrong, or just being ruffled because I don't fit that mold. And just trying to, like, I guess, water the plant of, like, okay, I'm a very particular, I'm in a particular place, I'm a particular person, a particular seed. And, like, the Lord, it's going to look different for me than other people. And that needs to be okay.
And for your generations.
And for my generations. And I'm trying to think long term. But I think this goes on with the chapter. Years ago, Joshua and I were talking, and it's like, man, I just feel like the Lord made all these, like, families and people, like, these beautiful, like, plants and flowers, and, like, I'm a potato.
Oh, man.
And it's
keeping,
like,
all of Ireland alive.
He's like, what are you talking about? I was like, I just, you know, this is a while ago, but, like, I don't have anything going on for me. Like, I'm being faithful, and I'm trying to, like, do the thing in, like, joy. And if that means, like, the Lord doesn't give me anything else, that needs to be okay. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, killing that, the envy, the false pride. And it's like, because God is, like, lavish for some reason.
Yeah.
I don't believe that he's lavish when it comes to me.
Maybe you're a purple potato.
They are beautiful.
Yeah.
Rachel actually made a pie.
Like, oh, yeah?
A purple sweet potato pie. I'm like, this is so cool.
I need to see that.
Yes. But and Josh was trying to encourage me. It's like, just be faithful and, like, plant the seed. Mm. And it's like, you're not a potato. Like, watch, like, you think you're a potato, but you're a tulip. These tulip bulbs look like these gnarly, like, onion things, and they're beautiful flowers. And it's like,
they are weird looking.
Oh, they're like little onions.
Yeah.
So,
or I'm thinking of a dahlia. Those are weird.
Oh, weird, yeah.
Tubers, whatever that word is. It's so straight. Yeah.
But isn't that weird to, like, say? Yeah. Like, I think I said that out loud. People were like, what are you talking about? You're obviously gifted. I'm like, it doesn't count, my friends.
How have you been tending then to, I mean, you've been trying to explain it, I think, but you just got to camp out on it for this section. How have you been tending to God's goodness in your life?
Trying to be thankful in all things. Mm-hmm. If you're thankful, you're not envious. You don't complain as much. You're seeing that everything is from the hand of God. And that's been very difficult, but very helpful to think of this. Like, even the bad things, like, I'm very quick to complain. But so, like, today was, like, a hard day. Not terribly, but, like, correction and stuff. And it's like, thank you, Jesus, for this tantrum. Thank you for my boys. Thank you for these toys on the floor. Mm-hmm. And just really trying to put it in perspective.
How about, let's, if you don't mind bringing this in. You mentioned in your notes your husband participating in this with you. Like, how does he participating in this with you?
Yeah. It's very different now. He's actually taking a very big step back on his own, like, passions, desires, endeavors, to, like, kind of let me, like, tiptoe out into mine. Anybody who knows Joshua knows that he plays music. He's an artist. He's incredibly well-read. Like, he can pick up things very quickly. And I think that's been, like, an envious spot in my heart for a very long time. And now, like, and we've been talking through it, and he's, like, repented of sin. I've repented of sin. And it's, he's been watering me in a sense of, like, really just trying to, like, focus on me. Like, in a way of just giving me a lot of freedom just to try. He keeps asking me, like, what do you want to do? What are your dreams? I'm like, I don't have any dreams yet. I was like, I don't know. And, but he just really wants to, like, free me up to, for me to be a whole person and not at the expense of himself.
It's cool that you guys can actually have a conversation about that. Was that even weird to even start having a conversation or to admit, hey, I'm envious of you and you're my husband?
Yeah, it didn't start out that way. But as more conversations to be had, it's like, it just became clear. It's like, okay, you're gonna go do this cool thing. All right, I'm over here. And it's like, why are you so upset? It's like, well, you get to do all these fun things. It's like, well, don't you? And I'm like, no. Mm-hmm. I don't get to do these fun things. And even if I did, I wouldn't even know how to go about them. It's like, I'm almost 30. I'll just put it that way. I'm almost 30 years old. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how to do anything. And it it troubled me and it angered me. And especially when you have just really talented people in your life. Like, I have lots of artist friends.
Yeah.
And it's like, and I am not an artist. I am an appreciator. But just really helpful, tear-filled conversations and realizations just over the years of just certain things happening.
So in the meantime, this flows right into your training and pruning. I guess this section is called training and pruning, but we could just call it the nurturing and developing section. Like, you've had to trust God or learn that maybe you didn't in certain areas. So how's God been nurturing and developing you in a way that maybe hasn't felt good, but you're starting to see that he is good in it? He has good in mind for you.
He's training me that he is the writer of stories, and that when bad things happen, it's not like he dropped the pencil and just let the world have its way. And that was difficult for me to come to grips with, because the beginning of my marriage was very rocky. And then, so it just felt like, okay, hard childhood. Okay, hard college life of trying to get married. And that was like a whole big thing that was difficult. And it's like, now I'm married. And it's like, oh, now my marriage is actually like really difficult. Like, I don't want to continue on anymore. Into like years later, like fruitfulness. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, now here you are, God. But that's not the case. So I have to remember that the Lord didn't just like show up on the scene when I showed up at Remnant, that he was like walking with me through this whole entire thing. And he's also training me to say hard truth about myself and being honest with my sin and his character.
Yeah.
Because it's like, okay, like God's good all the time. And it's, I struggle with that. It's like, well, if you are, like, why did this happen? And it seems like such a, like a young Christian like thing to struggle with. And it's like, I've been a Christian for like a professing Christian for many, many years now. And I thought I was understanding and I thought I was getting it, but still harboring this distrust in my heart of like, Lord, if you saw me and if you loved me, then you would have done something about X, Y, or Z sooner, or, you know, whatever. And he did. He delivered me out of lots of hardships.
Yeah. I've had a similar realization recently with myself. Ryan has very significant health issues for a long time. And I've prayed so many years for him. I mean, as long as I've known him, for his healing. And there's just some times when he's in particular bouts of pain, or I mean, there's so many times where he's just up all night, just crying, like in so much pain, you know, just don't seem getting better. Mm-hmm. And then it recently, probably because of his help and like being grateful in all things, it's like, okay, if, just had a thought, if God promises to be with us and if he's not failing, mm-hmm. and if he isn't lying, then like, how can I be gratefulness? And then I realized that maybe God was actually, as bad as Ryan seemed, he was preserving him from still holding back, like, right. an even greater
right.
horrible thing. I haven't lost him, you know, or yeah. just so many, you know, I did lose my mom at a very young age, and, you know, a sister of mine and my siblings and other things. But that really changed my perspective a lot. And so there's something that I heard recently on the podcast, the What Have You podcast, and mm-hmm. they were talking about the frame that's on the picture. And so on any given situation, so take your life and that's the picture, then what frame are you putting around it? And mm-hmm. is it a frame of gratitude or not? And I mean, I challenge myself to that whole, to do that whole thing. And if my feelings are the frame, I'm like, God, I do not like this.
Yeah.
I don't like this suffering one bit. Honestly, sometimes in a pretty selfish way, too. I'm not saying I'm like purely always thinking about Ryan's pain, mm-hmm. But just like, this is really hard for me. This yeah. is scary for me. This is, I don't have control here.
Right.
I don't know what this means for my future. All of these things. And so I'm still sitting on that and like praying like for that gratitude frame in more and more areas of my life for mm-hmm. sure. I was curious what you were talking about these, the truths about saying hard truths to yourself. Like, where do you get those truths from?
The Bible. And it's,
and why are they hard?
They're hard because my brain understands them, mm-hmm. but my heart does not beat with the sound of that truth. So it's like, he calls me daughter. I know that. I can say that and encourage people in that. But like, my heart doesn't beat with that truth that he thought of me at the creation of the earth. I was like, do you, Lord? Like, did you? And I know I'm just one person and I can't think of like the scale of God or everybody in all creation and all time, but he can. And just talking through those things out with people, I'm like, oh, like I'm very fearful of him and how he thinks of me. And having, like you said, like that frame of like ingratitude versus gratitude. So I'm rebuilding a frame and trying to see, well, praying that the Lord revealed to me those through threads of like, no, I was there. Even if I don't get a full picture of it, I'm just praying for the Lord to reveal it to me.
So what is it like for you to have to even think about going back and possibly putting a new frame on your past? Does that sound like, oh, God, why do I have to do that?
I actually welcome it, because not that it is needed, but I just think it would help me to know and understand, like in a real sense of like, oh no, you do love me. I'm realizing I don't have a good idea of what like fatherhood looks like, like in an actual physical sense or in our Heavenly Father sense. And I think I keep expecting him to do like this big grand gesture. And it's, sometimes it is that, very rarely, but mostly it's in like ordinary things.
Yeah.
And growing up, like my family would every year go to Florida. And that was like our big grand, like, this is how I show you I love you. Like, this is when I'm going to like look at you and like talk to you for hours and like stay up and watch movies. Or when I visit my dad, like we're going to go to Chuck E. Cheese. Like these are how I show you I love you. But I didn't have a lot of ordinary, and 99% of your life is in the ordinary.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it looks like for a father to be lovingly ordinary and like powerful, like in those moments and seats.
Yeah.
So looking back at it, it's like, okay, I can't look towards these big, huge moments. I have to actually be praying for like those, like to see and to remember those smaller ones.
Well, if anything else comes up, we can go back to this section, but let's move to weeding now, if you want.
Weeding. I feel like I'm just like circling through these topics over and over again. It's like so much of my life.
It doesn't sound that way.
Okay. It's like it's the same thing.
But at least weeding got a song, you know, the other ones didn't. It got a jingle.
It's got a jingle.
That's your future. If you're gardening, you're going to be in it with the weeds.
So like before asking him to kill envy and the negative like self-worth pride, and to believe, like, again, God's character, that he is lavish. So I wrote down, I struggle to believe that God can love and care for each of us on an intensely personal level, not merely like how he loves the rocks and the birds, but me as a specific daughter.
What does it look like for you to go to God with that request? Does it look messy, just praying scripture?
It's, I'm trying to reread scriptures that confirms that, and at the same time like saying like, Lord, please help me to feel it, help it to know. I probably shouldn't be, I don't know, like asking for that. Growing up, I just was very privy to lots of like unseen like realms, and so used to like seeing things or feeling things and like it being like very, very intense,
high sensation.
And it's like with the spiritual world, and it's like, okay, God, like, this is how I know, like, you're there. And it's like, he's a gentleman, he's not just gonna like bum rush me.
Yeah.
So I don't even know what to ask for rightly at times, because it's like, well, I know, and I'm learning that he is there and that he is powerful. And it's like, Lord, could you just like rub my back, could you like pat my head? And at the same time, like, Lord, like, let your word be true. So I know it's like Christians have had the Bible, like this is how we know, like it's not by sensation. And I'm trying to get away from sensation and then just really lean into like the word. But sometimes like the word feels very cold and like very distant. And it's like, Lord, you say I'm a daughter, then like, why does it feel like I'm reading a letter from you from like 50 years ago?
Yeah.
So I'm trying to like couch these things.
I don't even know if this is a good idea or not, but I'm going to turn around real quick and grab a book. Right before you came, I just thought maybe this book came to mind. It's a book called Far Above Rubies, The Life of Bethann Lloyd-Jones. And she was the wife, have you heard of her husband, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones? So he was just a famous preacher that a lot of people became saved under, and just really faithful to God's word. And he wrote a book that means a lot to a lot of people. I can't remember the name of it, but it's about like spiritual depression. And anyways, he just, tons and tons of people came to faith under his ministry in Westminster Chapel in London in the like around the 30s, I guess. But anyways, I remember something that sparked in my mind was I was just really shocked when I read this book about his wife's life, that she didn't actually know. She grew up in church her whole life, and she didn't realize that she hadn't trusted Jesus. And so it's after she was married to him and like under his teachings and sermons that she trusted Christ. But there was other stories in there. He also had a similar period where he felt really cold to God. And so I wanted to read that part. He was a believer, but through different things in his life, I'll just read it really quick, but it's really moving. Anyways, he wrote, "I was weary of a cold heart towards Christ and his sacrifice and the work of his spirit, of a cold heart in the pulpit, in secret prayer and in the study, on a day ever to be remembered by me, as I was going from, I cannot pronounce these words, Dogla to Machnaleth, and climbing up towards Caldair Idris, I considered it incumbent upon me to pray. However hard I felt my heart, and however worldly the frame of my spirit was, having begun in the name of Jesus, I soon felt, as it were, the fetters loosening, the chains, and the old hardness of heart softening. And as I thought, mountains of frost and snow dissolving and melting within, I felt my whole mind relieved from some great bondage. Tears flowed copiously, and I was constrained to cry out for the gracious visits of God by restoring to my soul the joy of his salvation. This struggle lasted for 3 hours. It rose again and again, like one wave after another, or a high-flowing tide driven by a strong wind, until my nature became faint by weeping and crying. Thus I resigned myself to Christ, body and soul, gifts and labors, all my life, every day and every hour that remained for me, and all my cares I committed to Christ." And it goes on, this memoir says, "The effect of this experience on his preaching was soon to be felt by the people." And he just had an incredible, incredible ministry. But I mean, that I just wanted to read that because that is so real. I think that could be so real.
Yeah.
In the life of a follower of Jesus. And he doesn't toss you out. Like he calls and searches and goes out for you, looking for you. Something that I was thinking about as I was reading your notes and just from having known you is that like there is a real battle for you, and like we've talked about before, your generations after you, and maybe you or other people in your family like open the door to dark things masquerading as good things. And in a lot of way I think there's your story will be like one of rescue. I think
We had talked recently, and Josh Ryder reminded me, like, your story is a story of deliverance, and I never thought about my life like that. And when it was couched in deliverance, those are the best stories. Mm-hmm. Like, those are the ones where, at long last, like, there's a savior at the end, and, like, he's been looking for us the entire time. And my heart just struggles to believe, like, sometimes that's true, but at the same time, it's like, I know I love him. Like, I know, like, he's good and he's powerful, but I think I really struggle with him being personal and, like, having wants and desires, because it's like, well, if you say no, I don't want to, you know, fight that, and it's just easier to sit still and not wait for the Savior or not wait for your heart to beat hard, and just that interim of him changing you, it takes a long time sometimes.
Isn't that God's favorite though, taking a long time? He gets it right.
I've just been praying so profusely of like, Lord, I know this is true, let this be true to my heart. Let me know that like you love me and you see me as a daughter, that you scooped me up, that it wasn't just happenstance or it's just the things just happened to fall into line, that you actually wanted me and that you still want me, and that there's something that you designed me for to do. And I think that's what we're talking about, of like, what are you excited for? It's like, to know my design. And
we all are too. Our imaginary audience.
Yes.
There's a scripture that kids and I have been learning this year, Psalm 103. And just wanted to read verses 3-5. It's the one that we've all heard. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. I guess I'm reading verse 1, too. And then verse 2 is, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And the thing that I've told the kids as we're learning it is, what is the first one? Got to pay attention to what comes first. What's the first benefit? And the first one that the psalmist sings about is, who forgives all your iniquity. So that's first. Like, God deals with that right out the gates. And if he's done that for you, and then what is he going to lavish next? Because you've been using that word a lot. Then after that is, who heals all your diseases. And then, who redeems your life from the pit is next. And then, this is nuts, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. And then after that, there's even more. Who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And I think that ties in. You could follow the hyperlink to other places in scripture about what that means, the eagles. But my kids always like to go, caw, after that part. We go, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And then Oliver's like, caw, in the back. It's so silly. And it goes on with even more benefits, to the point where at the end, their soul can't stop blessing the Lord, that they're like calling on the angels to do it, and they're calling on all the hosts, they're calling on everything, all his works in all places. It's just a really good one. But that crown, like what's put on your head, just like those beautiful flowers that you wear sometimes, or your grandma's pearls, like your crown in that, it's his steadfast love, and his mercy is on your life, and it's not going away. And it's funny because it says, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. So that implies like you've lived a little bit. You've lived. So you're going to be able to experience renewal from the Lord. And it is coming in his faithful, steadfast way, you know. And he is not a modern man. You talked about him being a gentleman, but he's not a modern man. And we've grown up in a world where things satisfy you in a different way.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be that steadfast way. It's going to be as quick as I think it. It's got to satisfy me. And it's got to be the most, the greatest. It's got to be for my good. Who cares about anyone else? Lowest impact on me. Yeah, like hurry up already kind of thing. And that is not God's kind of satisfaction. It's not his style. It's not his way. It's going to be deep.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. And I'm really excited for this part because I think you have a story to tell. There's not a blank spot on this harvest section. You've already seen how God has made good on his promises in certain ways through reflecting on it. And would you just share what he's brought to light?
I had to look at my notes very quickly just to remind myself. But my harvesting, I'm really seeing my kids as a blessing. And I knew that mentally, but it's a different to like to really like know that in your heart and to feel it experientially. And it happened very suddenly within like the last months. It's like, oh my goodness, like my kids are a blessing. It's their presence, their smiles, their personalities, they're a gift to me. I think before it was hard because it's like, man, like these kids are stopping me from doing anything.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was something that I was like wrestling with. And even like doing school, it's like, okay, now they're demanding even more of me with school. And the Lord's just been very gracious in allowing my eyes to be opened and for my heart just to beat wildly with thanks for my children. And with just lots of like love and like tender care. And so that's just like, that's a huge one. And I didn't think that I didn't see them as that until I started to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could imagine just thinking on the spot that maybe even understanding motherhood was something that maybe you might have been scared to step into. I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah. when I became a mother, it was not planned. And it was very scary. And I didn't have like my own mother to like show me the way, or I couldn't really like ask her questions. And I wasn't really quite close with anyone from the church to really like to depend and lean on them. But I have just gained so much peace of the Lord showing me who I am in Him. And it's like, yes, you're a mom. Like, you're actually designed to be a mom. And like, this is a good thing. Like, your atoms and your bones and your spirit are women.
Yeah.
And it's like, what are you made for? And Him showing me to love what I've been made for, and to encourage others as well, and to be excited and happy about that.
Well, how have your relationships borne fruit?
With
friendships.
Oh, with my friendships. Oh, I'm able to be friends with people. just simply. Not that I was like hating on anybody, but again, with that envy, it's so easy just to, man, you're so talented, or you're so smart, or look at your marriage. And when you're envy, like, what was the verse? Like, envy rots the bones, like, and it steals joy. And I haven't thought about envy like that. It's like, oh, I just struggle with this. And it's like, yeah. Oh, no, it's killing me from the inside. And it's not allowing me to, like, see this person rightly. So for many years, I was just struggling just to get close with people just because of this, like, and how would you say that? Say this word for me, Laura.
What's the word?
Inferiority.
Sounds great.
Is that how you say it?
You rocked it.
Yeah. Complex of like, oh, they wouldn't want to hang out with me. And I was just shutting myself down from just good relationships and people and things, or opportunities even. And now I'm not, at least as much. And I just, there is just this new sense of like freedom. And it's like, who cares if you don't know how to, like, do anything? Like, go ask everybody you know to teach you how to sew. And if they say no, it's okay.
Yeah.
And just not to have my purpose, not my purpose, like, have my past embarrass me, you know?
Yeah. Ryan had a funny thought the other day, or when was it? He had a funny thought recently about when you go to the hospital. And so in this scenario, the hospital of God, you don't go and check yourself in and say, okay, now I'm the doctor. Like, anyone who goes to the hospital, can you imagine? Like, usually if you're going to, say, the emergency room or something like that, you're going to go and you're going to show up and totally entrust yourself to the doctor there. And he's like, I've been to the ER with him many times, and he's like, I don't care if you see me naked. I don't, whatever you got to do, just help me, you know, kind of thing. And isn't that, I don't know. I was like, that's such a good way of putting it, like, before the Lord. It's like, He might expose us. Mm-hmm. He's going to heal us. He's going to do it. He knows what to do. He knows the spots to go. He knows what we need, all of those things. And just listening to you talk, it sounds like God is like, again, we talk about satisfaction. It's like, it's not the, like what I'm trying to get after dinner with my dessert, like my quick, oh, I just need this sweet thing super fast.
Yeah.
It's like the kind of satisfaction that you get a deep sigh from, like, you know, the kind that you can just rest in, that you don't have to worry is going to float away. I think that's what he's like marching out in your life. He's like, I want you to know, I want you to know, I want you to know this about me, about you, about your generations after you, about my word, about my people. Sometimes, you know, we're just hard to that. And so, yeah, the prayer, which I know that you've done, I've heard you pray it, is for a humble heart and for a trusting heart, you know, a heart of faith. Mm-hmm. So is there anything you want to share about that? Or if not, anything else you want to share in this section that you're praising God for?
I loved when you said, like, that deep, like, that sigh, because it just felt like life was so shallow before. It's like, okay, like, I'm doing what I'm supposed to. Why doesn't this feel fulfilling? Like, I'm serving my community. I'm having these kids. I'm feeding everybody and, like, hosting these things. And I liked doing those things. But it's like when someone, like, hypes up, like, a restaurant, you're just like, I don't get it. And it's like, I would also like to be hype about this restaurant. And then it's like, slowly I'm starting to get it. Just that you can trust, you can rest, you do have purpose, you do have meaning outside of just cooking. And I think that this doesn't cheapen it. I'm glad that I know how to cook and clean. Like, those are big, big blessings. But I think it's very easy probably for me and a lot of women just to be like, that doesn't count, Lord. Like, the ability to be able to cook is not a blessing because everyone does it. I don't know. Do you ever? That's my sinful thought.
I can't cook very well. So, like I said, your house is Hogwarts to me.
So sweet.
That's okay. I'm glad for it to be Hogwarts to me.
Yes, I am too. I am glad that that's the feeling because I didn't know that. I'm just cooking.
Yeah.
I'm just doing what I've been doing for forever. But so I guess the satisfaction of like, okay, maybe stop disparaging the cooking ability, Deanna.
Yeah.
Like, this is one that people have constantly, not constantly, but consistently told me like, oh, you know how to, like, this tastes really good. Mm-hmm. You do a good job. I was like, yeah, whatever. Like, it didn't like touch my heart in any particular way. And until recently, you're like, oh, yeah, you've been blessed with this. And I was like, oh, that just, it put it in a totally different frame.
Yeah.
Because it's a gift. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't have to be able to cook. And people like my cooking. That's a gift. And it's like, wow, I've just been like poo-pooing on this idea and this gift for like years because it's all I knew how to do.
I think there's a parable about that, about, yeah, bearing your talents and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And wouldn't we want to agree with God and on the blessings he's given us? Because they are supposed to come through us and out of us and be shared and passed around and all that.
Yeah.
Like a good plate of food.
Yeah, this is like 2 weeks of me trying to really be like, okay, God, this is a good thing.
Hey, 2 weeks from now, it'll be 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And 2 weeks from now, it'll be six weeks.
And then
weeks.
Prayerfully, my cooking game will bless even more people because it'll be with just a grateful heart and not a whatever, God, you know.
Gosh, God takes our baby steps. He really, really, really does. They're true steps. The podcast, by the time yours is aired, will have already aired, of Erica DeVore, and she talks about baby steps in hers and how she has been learning to trust in the Lord. And she says, I feel like a baby, and I feel like God is holding out his arms to me and saying, come on, you can do it. You can do it. And then we laughed about the fact that, like, babies get the most cheers for their steps. They get all the claps, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what God says about your 2 weeks of steps. So he's cheering. Hey, let's talk about your marriage.
Okay.
Or how does that belong in this section of God's faithfulness, his grace, and his victory? Because you had alluded to a rocky start, and it was... You alluded to a rocky start.
Yes. First 2 years of marriage were extremely difficult. And I don't think Joshua would mind if I said he was a very mean man. However, we loved each other. And he had brothers in Christ and people who were constantly calling him up and out of himself to be to be stronger, to be godly, to take on more responsibility and weight. And that was very difficult. And on top of that, he also, if anyone knows Josh for any length of time, he struggled a very long time with anxiety, which is also it's difficult. Praise God, one, he doesn't struggle with it so much anymore, which is a huge thank you, Jesus moment. And he gets tempted, but like it's nothing where it was before, of where he's really like leaning on me and depending on me and like not so much Christ. And just all of this like weight and pressure for me to hold up my husband emotionally and to wait for him to grow in Christ and in patience and in love more, in addition to like raise a family. Like we've had, I got pregnant within like the first 2 or 3 months of marriage. So being pregnant and then having a little one and then having another little one shortly after that, it was so much weight. And I didn't trust too many ladies at Remnant to talk with any of them about it. So it was really just me clinging to Christ, being like, I don't know what to do or to go, Father, but like, I pray that you would make this right. And over time, he has. And it's not from me like fussing at Joshua or begging him to change, but like begging the Lord to change Joshua and to change our marriage into something that's like fruitful and thriving and godly centered.
When you say he's entirely different, I would.
Yes, he's definitely entirely different. And it's it's shocking, but in the best of ways. Yeah. You know, all young men have a pride about them. And it took some time for Joshua's pride to die. But the lovely thing about Joshua I've noticed is when he really sees, when the Lord reveals, like, hey, this is a problem, or when a kind brother in Christ goes, like, hey, you can't keep doing this, once he sees it, he runs from it, like, into Christ's arms, and, like, things just fly. Mm-hmm. If you know Joshua, he's just fast, just in everything. Mm-hmm. Getting married, having babies, doing a project, learning a skill or an instrument or a song, like, it's very, very quick, and I'm very grateful that it is true also for his repentance and his, like, his growing and his loving as well. And I'm incredibly thankful because I didn't think it would ever be different. I just thought, like, okay, it is what it is. Kind of like when you think, like, okay, God, like, this is the restaurant, but I don't get the hype. Or, like, yeah, this is marriage, Lord, but I don't get the hype, but I don't see the blessing. And he's been slowly showing me, like, oh, no, that's not what it was supposed to be. Like, and he's revealing it to me now, like, your marriage is looking more and more like the way I designed it and intended it and want for you and yeah, your family to thrive. And it's so different. It's so beautiful. I feel loved and seen and cared for by my husband in ways I never have. And we've been married for 9 years. Yeah. 9 years.
9 years.
And, you know, certain things you just don't ever think they'll get better. And the Lord shows you that's not true. And so I think my marriage is a very good example of, like, if I keep clinging and I'm truly believing in him and he says he's good, like, it might take another, prayerfully not 9 years, but it might take some time, but things are changing and these are growing and trying to fight that. But Lord, I want it now.
Yeah.
Like, my heart can only change so fast. My eyes can only be so open at a time, and it's going to continue to do so. And this is like a realization, like, I didn't realize that my marriage was such a big example or a proponent of that promise and that faith and that goodness. Yeah, like, yeah, I guess I'll paint the picture. I was never, like, mistreated poorly. Like, I want to paint the picture, like, mm-hmm, Josh never hit me. Like, there's nothing like that. But it's more so just truly trusting in Christ and, like, him being a strong godly man and me being a strongly godly woman. And I'm realizing, and he told me this, like, what brought me to repentance was not, it wasn't anything I fussed at or begged him for, because I just didn't do that in part two. He's like, you were very patient with me, mm, and you waited on me and you prayed a ton and you served me a ton. And not perfectly, obviously, but he's like, it was like the proverbial, you will heap coals on their heads, like the conduct of, like, your love for Christ, you know, and it's like, oh, it's real.
Yeah, yeah. And God opened his eyes to his calling, I think, as a father and as a man, and it's where he saw proper humility, proper leadership, and prayed, I don't know, put words in Josh's mouth, but
yeah,
I would say, I mean, even from my own husband, I mean, I assume, like, he and Josh are really close, mm-hmm, but I just think there's just a whole season or a whole swath of men that have been repenting, mm, and turning to Jesus and being humble and longing to be godly men and godly leaders. And,
yeah,
and so it makes sense that it would make, you know, their wives want to rise up and be godly women, you know.
Yeah.
Too.
'Cause when you have that peace, mm-hmm, like, as a woman, you need the steadfast peace of a man versus, like, if it's flip-flopped, it's like, I have no peace because I'm trying to hold, like, I'm not designed to hold that weight. I'm also not designed to hold the weight of, like, Christ. Mm-hmm. So just putting those things rightly in order, it's like, oh, I can actually rest and run the way I need to, like, unencumbered by things that I don't have to worry about.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
And you got awesome boys, just awesome boys. And I think just something to highlight was something that Ryan said was, don't miss the fact that God gave you all these men,
yeah,
that are wonderful men in your home to love you and treat you like a woman, and, you know, as their mother or wife or loved person. Pretty beautiful.
I never thought of it. I don't know if you know this, but I've always wanted girls, and I was like, I just don't know why the Lord won't give me a girl. And then I thought about it, and like what you guys said, like he gave you all these men to like show you like what it's supposed to be like. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, I guess I didn't have that. And I never realized it. And I mean, the Lord could change me, but I was nowhere near ready to like try to teach a woman what a woman could be, like in all like the fruitfulness of a woman, because I wasn't yet. So it's like strong, sturdy boys. It's so sweet. Noah climbed up a tree and like snatched up all the flowers and like was holding them in his teeth and like climbing back down. And it's like, oh, he's such a Casanova. It's very funny.
Well, Deanna, what have you brought to close out the podcast tonight?
Oh, I was just going to read the parable of the prodigal son. It's funny because every time I listened to the parable, I always thought I was like the older brother, like being like upset about the younger brother's return. And it's like, oh, I'm actually more of like the younger brother. The Lord calls me daughter. He doesn't call me servant. He throws the robe, he puts the ring, and like celebrates. And I'm thinking of that and praying, like, Lord, like, let that be true in my heart. Yeah. This is the parable of the lost son. A man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate I have coming to me. So he distributed the assets to them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered together all he had and traveled to a distant country, where he squandered his estate in foolish living. After he had spent everything, a severe famine struck the country, and he had nothing. Then he went to work for one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. He longed to eat his fill from the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one would give him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food, and here I am dying of hunger? I'll get up, go to my father, and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired workers. So he got up and went to his father. But while the son was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran, threw his arms around his neck and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in your sight I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father told his servants, Quick, bring out the best robe. Put it on him, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Then bring the fattened calf and slaughter it, and let's celebrate with a feast. Because this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And so they began to celebrate.
Thank you for listening to the Whole Home Podcast, a podcast that displays the unity of sisters in the local church and the way God so wonderfully gives us to each other in our uniqueness and in our sameness for his glory. The stories we share weave together as one grand testimony to the work of Christ and his faithful presence in the garden of our lives. Remember, the master gardener is always at work, so let's yield to him and grow where we're planted.